Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
How old do you think Sheryl Crow is?
57.
Sheryl
Crow. Who was she married to?
She was with Lance Armstrong.
That's a strong guess. I'm guessing slightly younger at 54.
59.
Oh, okay. Shotlive McKenzie, who's our guest on this episode of The Worst Idea of All Time, season 6, but it's actually season 5. I'm so gutted that this wasn't
That's
season 6.
It's a huge oversight.
Really dumb on our part.
Sheryl Crow did a Bond theme.
She did. Was it Die Another Day?
No, it was Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh, man.
What are some of her songs?
All the titles sound the same.
All I Want to Do is Have Some Fun.
Okay.
You would have been 2 when that song came out?
Yeah, I remember it vividly. It's my first memory.
Sheryl Crow's All I Want to Do. A lot of people would kill for that.
I did.
We just watched a film called Emmanuel and the
Sex Lives of Ghosts.
Yes, and the Sex Lives of
Ghosts. Do we have to talk about it?
Yeah, we do.
It's imperative.
We watched it for an hour and a half of our human time on this earth.
I'm so upset. I thought it was going to be like a 20-minute episode.
Yeah, Liv thought she was coming over to watch 8 minutes of hardcore explicit pornography.
I would have rather that, I think, just cram it all in.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Got him. Yes. Hey, by the way,
I'm on a stool.
You got to watch out. We riff a lot on this podcast. Oh, so no. You set something like that up for Tim. He's going to knock it straight down.
I fucking hate this attitude.
I love to riff.
What? You hate
like shit New York comedian guy or something? I don't know.
Brilliant podcast
and that
host
was,
guy.
That was a lowercase g, by the way. That wasn't like a direct shot across the bow. You know the type, Liv, because you spent a good while in NYC.
Yeah, I did. Thank you so much for bringing it up.
I had to bring it up within the first 2 minutes of the podcast because that's a contractual requirement.
Yeah, and otherwise
we have
I would.
You or Alice Sneddon on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We must reference your time in the Big Apple.
How did you like the open mic scene?
It was dog shit.
And how did you like the movie?
This movie?
That was great. That was very skillful.
also dog shit, I think.
Oh, well,
did you like it?
In parts. I thought the sound mix was awful.
You wandered off a lot.
I wandered off 3 times.
I never
Here's what
off.
I did. Once to take a shit. Once to put my phone in a different room so I wouldn't be tempted to go on it.
Uh-huh.
Thrice to check my phone.
Oh my God.
But it is an enthralling idea. A woman from Transylvania who lives in a bungalow in California has 3 friends over for the weekend. Coincidentally, the same weekend that her house and the sort of sexual spirit of her house is overrun by old ghosts.
Because she finds an A3 printout in her pool.
It's a printout of a sketch someone's done with charcoal. But it's floating on her.
Well, I mean, it's
presumably laminated.
It's a photo, and their faces are kind of blurry. And then she immediately frames it above the fireplace.
We were also watching this movie at a crisp 144p resolution, so it was a little bit hard to make out what was a photo and what was a painting at that kind of definition. Mm. But it's just floating in the pool. She finds it, I guess, frames it and puts it up. Right?
She finds it after she's had like a weird sex hallucination. Where the intercut with a faceless man riding a horse.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that never came back.
And a field of sheep.
And the sheep, because she's looking up out of the pool, somehow down into a field of sheep. It was very confusing. And then that was a dream. Then she wakes up in bed. And so I was like, okay.
You know when you're having a sex dream and it's intercut with farmyard animals, yeah. But you're not having sex with the animals? You know that familiar feeling?
Normal, relatable stuff. This movie was so hard to watch.
It really was.
In the way that you want porn to be hard to watch. Am I right?
Tim's talking about cocks.
Yeah.
Cocks and socks.
Socks is what we call vaginas on this season of the podcast.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, basically.
It's like Cockney rhyming slang, except it'll make you angry and vomit.
Emmanuel had three friends over. It's unclear why they went. Presumably they wanted to open themselves up sexually or visit their friend. The house is overrun by ghosts. Fucking ghosts. Ghosts who fuck. People. And
not
basically it runs for an hour and a half. The
Why
sound
didn't the
mix
ghosts just fuck each other? That would have been an easy fix.
Well, it seemed like every time they masturbated they were also somehow watching ghosts fuck each other. They were having like a weird with like a weird.
So the ghosts can fuck each other.
I think so.
It was a combination of hallucinations where they saw the ghost and then toward the end of the film the ghost started what is that called? Possessing them, their bodies.
Oh, yeah, it was full possession by the end. But it seemed like they were watching, I don't know if they were watching like ghost memories or the ghosts were currently fucking in limbo.
Or a premonition to a future time when Emmanuel would fuck someone in a pool at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah, there was like at the start, it was either a dream or a flash forward because then she fucks the same, spoilers, she fucks the same guy at the
spoilers.
End.
Big spoiler warning on this episode of the podcast. If you intended to watch Emmanuel and the Sex Life of Ghosts, spoiler free, I'm sorry, you've come to the wrong place because we will be explaining in explicit detail the plot as we understood it.
Yeah. These usually are spoiler free too, so we apologize for that misunderstanding. Basically what you got a movie with four real people, three ghosts trapped in a picture above a fireplace. If anyone falls asleep, you better watch out. You're going to get fucked. You're going to get fucked five ways to the moon.
Dude Ghost was hot. He was a hot dude.
He was a baron, and he had an insatiable sexual appetite. Yeah. At one point, we see a sexual memory. Emmanuel, doesn't really know what's happening, but she finds a book and starts sort of, believing that what is in the book is an articulation of the sex lives of the people in this blurry framed picture. And so at one point she's like, it's dinner time, and she prepares dinner, and then when everyone sits down to a meal, before they can even start shoveling food into their face, she's like, I'm going to tell you in explicit detail about how these motherfuckers fucked.
And it is explicit. We see full frontal female nudity for the first time.
Yeah, we see sock.
I regret saying that.
We see the first sock sighting we've seen all
season.
Still
no cock, though.
No, I think we see like a whisper of a shadow of a penis.
Was it in that bit?
No, it was like right at the end. Oh. Before the other three go get in the pool. The one girl's like, no.
Which, by the way, Liv, there's a lot of sex in the pool in this movie.
There's so much sex.
Are you
in the pool.
Pro, anti, words of advice for people attempting?
I just think water is not a lubricant. And it looked like.
Hey, folks, water's painful, not a lubricant.
But when you've just got out of the pool and you try to put jeans on?
Yeah.
I often dry my legs first.
Yeah, but they're not. You can't fully dry unless you have like a blow dryer. Do you take a blow dryer to the pool to blow dry your legs completely?
No, but I use a towel.
Hold on, Liv. Don't get sucked into his vortex. He's railroaded your good metaphor here.
No, you can dry your legs enough without a blow dryer to put on jeans.
No, not enough. Not enough to comfortably and easily put on jeans.
I genuinely didn't know you were wearing a Pokemon t-shirt. That rocks.
Thank you. I rock.
And it's got the original lineup. Pikachu, yeah, the best lineup. Squirtle, Charmander, Bulbasaur, just the faves. None of these other fucking bonus.
Yeah, yeah, that's what made Pokemon Yellow plus. Such a find.
Yeah.
Because you get given Pikachu, and then when you're out in your adventures, yeah, you come across the other three core Pokemon.
Could you get everyone in Yellow? Like, could you catch them all without having to trade
50? You still got to trade, 51. I think.
151. Oh, Mewtwo.
Sorry. No, I don't think you could. But their renderings were much better on the Game Boys.
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
In Yellow.
Yeah.
It was the same. It was exactly the same.
No, it wasn't. Not between Blue and Red and Yellow.
Yes, it was the same game. It's just Pikachu followed you.
No, it was different. The way that the Pokemon looked when you came across them in the wild or in battle was different. It was more detailed.
Send us a tweet at TwiletPod and let us know.
I'll fucking get on my phone right now.
Do it.
I'll close fucking the Cheryl Crow
Wikipedia
tab.
Your phone's right there, friend. You get into it. Liv and I
will... Sorry, I'm disagreeing with everyone. I think you can put jeans on after a swim. And
well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about fucking in water.
No, let's talk about Pokemon. Change the subject.
How do you think who do you think would be the best fucker out of all the Pokemon?
Machoke.
He's got a tiny, shriveled, roided dick, I reckon. He's got nothing going on.
Yeah, but he could really throw you around.
That's true.
He really could. Machamp could throw you around. There's like six arms.
He's got too many arms, though. It's got an uncomfortable amount
I was going to say...
Actually, no, that's better. Yeah, Machamp.
Hey,
you want Machamp?
What's up, dickheads? I'm on the famous website Sheridan Sun.
What is that?
I don't know. But the differences between Red, Blue, and Yellow are minor. The graphics are the biggest change.
Oh, fuck.
As Yellow contains updated and coloured sprites. So
I once again can eat shit in the hand of Guy Montgomery. This is why I'm on the stool, man. There's the other two of your hosts for this fine episode have got lovely chairs, but I'm on a little stool, and it has been proven now that is where I belong.
Yeah, because of your little ideas and your little attitudes. Tim, you were saying towards the end of the film, and I begged off of you to hold off on this theory off mic so that you could share it with us in real time. You think that there's a good movie buried amongst the muck and the mire of these ghosts?
Oh, 100%. Because these ghosts, it is revealed toward the end. And it is quite hard to get a grip over the story because, like, the sound mix is so bad.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Tenant, but I'm aware of the memes. The seems Tenant level bad mixing to me. You can't understand the dialogue.
Yeah.
So what do we know?
At one point, there's a scene that's just really close to an extractor fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was like, can you hear a rumble? And then I turned it up to see if it was like something in my house. It wasn't. It's in the film.
Yeah.
And it was because they were in the kitchen. But what do we know about this film?
It is nice to know, though, just sorry, as a side, that whatever food is being cooked, the smell isn't overpowering the kitchen. Because often when I'm watching a movie, I'm always like, oh no, the whole house is going to smell of nacho beans.
You're right.
But they have to fuck in the kitchen while they're cooking.
Thank God
refried
they included
beans
the bad sound so that we could just, you know, make our peace with that.
Yeah.
We've got four adults, three ghosts, a house. Some semblance of couples between
the relationships are very unclear.
Quite a fluid sort of.
Yeah.
It is a bit, but then people also get angry, so it's not like a well-communicated open relationship scenario.
But it's well enough. Those fights, on the scale of fights, seemed somewhat like petty.
They're navigating.
It was more like moods. It was like weather that people were going through rather than a core problem with the relationship.
So then what I'm saying is we've got these ghosts, and towards the end it's revealed that, well, actually, one of the last scenes is Emmanuel. The other three all get possessed.
At no,
the guy,
times.
The two women
oh,
do.
Oh, yeah, the two women get possessed.
And they fuck the guy.
And then the guy does get possessed. So
and the other
all,
woman is either also possessed or just very into it.
It's like
she's into it.
It's like Ghostbusters. Sigourney Weaver's character, I think she's the gatekeeper because I think Lewis is the keymaster, and how she's like writhing around all sexy, and this is lost on both of you.
Yeah, I watched Ghostbusters. I've seen it, but
it's
not
like
enough.
If you take that kind of sexual possession thing to its natural conclusion, it's this movie in a way, which is being haunted by thirsty demons.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmanuel falls into like a sex trance for ages while these other three like take turns getting possessed and fucking each other. And then Emmanuel kind of banishes them because he starts saying, one of the men ghosts who's fucking Emmanuel.
The Baron?
Yeah, it could be the Baron. He's like, starts describing the scenario that they're in, which is neither heaven nor hell, and that she should join them because they'd be able to just fuck forever. And then she's like, do I need to die? And he's like, no, join me in this place that isn't heaven or hell where we can, like, you know, but fuck forever.
He doesn't want her to – he just good explanation. Because it's when she takes the picture off the frame and she's, like, about to put in the fire to expel the house of ghosts.
But then she – but so then she does because she, like – she doesn't even put the photo in the frame to get rid of them. She's just like, be gone, because she figures it out.
Yeah.
So this concept of having – horny as fuck ghosts who are stuck in purgatory.
Who have also gone to warehouse stationery to print out a photo to put in the pool.
Or what is it called in America? Kinko's?
Kinko's.
Just trying to regionalize it for our listener base. And so we've got these thirsty ghosts, real people in some sort of fluid relationship, and the ghosts are trying to pull them in to like their – it's like a vampire movie. It's like, nah, you got to get bit. You know? Like, there's a good movie in
there. Except you've got to get fucked.
Well, you got to get dead is actually it.
He doesn't to seem become like he's trying to kill her, though.
Yeah.
No, he does. Like, he has his hand around her throat in an erotic way.
Thing, yeah,
but like, it was going... like a Machamp kind of thing.
It was going there. That was the whole... That was my read on the thing. But then again, I did get the Pokemon Yellow graphics thing wrong, so now my faith and my logic is all gone.
It felt like he was trying to... like steal her spirit, like he was trying to convince her to like her spirit to leave her body.
I think
is that not death? What is not death if it isn't being like unshackled murder. From your body?
Murder.
Like it seemed more like voluntary.
I
don't think
on her part.
Yeah, because he wasn't trying to talk her into like die. Like,
but again, I think it's a vampire thing. It's like they've got to kind of agree to the.
Can
deal.
I introduce to my third theory, which is just that he just liked the way the weekend had been. And she was going to throw it all away by burning the picture. And he's like, don't burn the picture. Just bring more mates over. Yeah. We'll all like get fucking confused and horny for a weekend. And then, you know.
The funniest bit, which Liv cracked onto early, was that the Baron, you hear a word like Baron, you think 19th century.
Yeah.
These cunts were from 2006.
The blonde, streaky highlights, the. Like very red lipstick.
Yeah, there is something very modern about that lipstick and the nails as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the French tips.
Super horny aesthetic.
But modern.
Oh, yeah.
Hyper modern.
Yeah, they didn't look from the 18th century for a second. Good teeth.
Are barons still around? Can you get a modern day baron? And Baron Trump. Of course you can.
Yeah. But there must be other barons, oil barons.
Yeah, is that an official title?
No, it's just more like a descriptor. No, there's got to be the modern day baron.
Maybe in Germany.
Maybe someone in Germany.
Maybe in Germany.
Yeah, there'd be some German
Emmanuel
baron with an elephant cock.
There's a stereotype which I feel like really took hold in the 2000s.
German barons have massive schlongs.
No, that Germans like do a lot of scat pornography and scat sex. Is this not something you're aware of?
Please don't make me
watch that. I'm not going to. I wonder if it's based on anything or if it's just like a form of bigotry.
Germans are also prim and proper, so it was believed that they were into absolute filth bedroom.
Like it's okay.
There's that famous club in Berlin, the Berghain, where it's like, are you going to the Berghain? Chances are you're going to get pissed on.
Chances are. Not enough toilets. Too
That's
many
why
people.
I go in.
Like, this is why you go
please,
in.
Please, today.
Do you get into Berghain? I understand it could be very challenging.
I made a TV series. I produced it. It was like a web series, but it didn't actually get on TV. Called The Male Gas with Chris Parker and Eli Matheson. We had a chat to a guy who ran a gay nightclub in the 2000s, I think early 2000s, for years and years. And they had a leather daddy who would just, he was like, I can't remember the word, but it was like a piss lord or something, where he just loved being urinated on and would just hang out in the urinal.
Imagine putting that on your CV.
Yeah. Leather daddy / piss lord for 6 years.
Oh my God.
At this great club. It was what is now Madame George, I think, on K Road.
Oh, wow. I just remembered a friend of mine went to Berghain and was taking a piss, and there was a guy in the urinal who was like, hey, could you piss on me?
Really?
Yeah, and my friend was like, okay, sure.
Really?
Yeah, like, yeah, you want to be pissed on? I'm pissing, why not? So they pissed on him, and then another person came in, and then I think I don't know what the exact social dynamic was, but he sort of got in a situation where he was also meant to be pissed on in return.
And he was like, I actually don't want that.
I did not read the terms and conditions.
right.
I'm a pisser, not a pissee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just look out there, everyone.
Yeah, you got to read what's on the tin. That's shitty. That's shitty though, man. Because your friend was doing something that might have been out of his comfort zone to help a person out.
Yeah, 100%.
Your friend was being really brave.
Yeah.
To help someone. And then he's going to get urinated on, like, without any bloody...
You've just done a favour for someone.
Come on.
It's an incredible favour economy where pissing on someone is a... Come on, man. I pissed on you.
Who was that? Did you have a fave character out of all the humans and ghosts that were in this film? We've got seven different people.
I think... I guess
and a horse.
Oh, the horse. I think I liked Emmanuel the best. She was the least whiny.
She's so confusing
to me. She's pretty cool.
Where is she
from?
She makes
some mean nachos. She's from Transylvania.
Yeah, her accent does, in this film, lead me to suggest that she is Transylvanian, which is a very specific kind of a choice, I think, for where to take the Emmanuel character.
Yeah.
She started French, became American, and now Transylvania.
she's been from different parts of... Eastern Europe a bit recently.
Is this the whole? Is it the same actress the whole series?
No, it's James Bond style sort of. The character and spirit lives on through different interpretations.
Okay. Yeah,
it's what I'm planning to do with the Guy Montgomery franchise. I'm
hoping. Will you pass on the wardrobe to another?
Yeah. I'm hoping that Guy Montgomery outlives us all.
How tall are you? 6'2".
Yeah,
6'2".
6'2".
6'2". You got to find. Some
they could be different sizes.
Some beautiful six. Oh, really?
Yeah,
they look
yeah.
ridiculous in your clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if I put your sweaters on.
You'd look great.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not tall enough.
No, you'd look good.
What do you think, Liv?
I think
throw it over to a tiebreaker.
I think you'd look good.
Thanks, Liv.
Is that convincing?
Yeah.
No, I bought it. It's deeply unconvincing.
I was just thinking if I wore your clothes, I'd look like a toddler, like a very cool toddler.
Why?
I was short, toddlery, I don't know. Mm. A little hat.
Toddlers are getting trendier and trendier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Is it?
Yes.
It makes
you
me
are,
jealous.
You will one day take charge of a toddler yourself.
Soon.
You're going to deliberately dress them like dirt?
Not like dirt, but there's like... but the point is not being trend. Like, fuck that. Fashion is such bullshit, and like being in trend is such bullshit.
There we go.
You want to like protect your kid for as long as possible from that kind of carry on.
Yeah, but you also want them to look sick.
Yeah, the whole point.
They'll look cool. Style is forever, but trends are a stupid thing.
So
we
what, are you gonna,
give to
what are you
going to
put your toddler in?
A fucking 3-piece dinner suit if it's before 6 p.m.
I just six tuxedos on there.
Yes.
What are they sleeping?
They sleep in a silk 2-piece.
I like it.
Yeah. Elegance, not trendiness, you know.
I see.
It's going to be the order of the day.
And what about when they start having their own opinions about what they should be wearing?
Then they can shut the fuck up.
They'll continue to wear the 3-piece.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know what, Tim? I came in against you, but I've come out the other side with you.
Liv,
I couldn't agree more.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you strike me as someone who's consumed a bit of porn in your time.
No.
Really?
Yeah, I always forget about porn.
You forget about porn because your imagination's so good? Or?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I could watch porn.
But just, meh.
Yeah. I just, every once in a while.
Yeah, a special treat.
Yeah, a special treat.
Do you remember your first, like, when you first came across porn, when you were first introduced to the fact that it exists?
I don't know. I remember the first episode of Sex and the City I saw.
Yeah.
Which I feel like was probably the closest.
Yeah.
Which was the one where Charlotte, where she, I think she has a dream. Or she, and she fucks the gardener. And she's married to, is it Trey?
Yeah, Trey.
Trey can't get it up.
It's like a rose garden. Yeah, it's like she's in the rose garden and it's all like steamy. And yeah, I remember watching that.
The Help.
You were like,
fucking The Help.
I was like, this is lit.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah, but I don't remember the first porn I watched. But that's because I was like, got the internet when I was like,
you were born into it.
11, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when we got our first computer. And then so I probably saw some like gnarly stuff.
Do you know what there needs to be is like a new dominant genre of porn, which is just respectful, normal style. So it's like,
dude, just missionary.
I honestly
all
feel
day.
Like it's due a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like if you've got, say, you're in your mid to late 20s now, mm-hmm. but they've kept making children since, you know, since the Liv McKenzie release. And they are like, you know, there's internet, constant exposure to internet. Like,
what an artful way of saying there's people younger than you. That's why it's such a good stand-up. Who would think to say it like that?
We feel good about getting older.
But all of their, like, they're so conditioned to some of the most hardcore yeah. and, like, what is, you know, what is not a normal. Like, porn is like watching, I think I used to even try and do a joke about this. Watching porn before you've had sex, it's like watching Roger Federer play tennis and then being like, I can do that, and yeah. trying to play tennis
yeah.
and being frustrated you don't play tennis like Roger Federer. And like, what the fuck do you expect? You watch the best in the biz do it for however long,
and it's you like, haven't even begun.
But there's that's like stand-up too.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Because you watch your favorite stand-ups, but you're like,
that looks easy.
No, actually, no. I feel like I never watched stand-up being like, I was like, I could never do that. And then I went to like an open mic and I was like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah,
I can bomb for 5 minutes. Absolutely,
but there needs to be like a premature ejaculation subgenre of porn, impotence porn, all gotcha. Of the maladies which befall yeah. young lovers.
Surely that's out there. That's got to be a thing.
I guess that's like it's Big Mouth or something, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like TV shows which deal with these young adult issues.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a category of porn as well.
Yeah, there needs to be like an intro to porn.
There's everything. Everything's yeah. out there, man. Man. They've got everything on there.
They really do.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, that's why I can't. I feel like I've just missed too much. There's too much to catch up on, so I can't get into porn-wise. Porn now.
Mm. It's not all one narrative. You can sort of.
No,
God, imagine if it was.
I can't go back and watch it all. I've
just too much to catch up on.
You don't have to watch it all. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I feel about Sopranos the way you feel about pornography.
Yeah. I also feel like that about podcasts too.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. You don't have to listen to all the podcasts.
Yeah, but I feel like I can't say I'm a fan of a podcast unless I've listened to all of it. So I can't say I'm a fan of porn unless I've watched all of it, you know?
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes a kind of sense.
Yeah. It can't be a fake fan.
Fuck, man. And like, even in this bracket of Emmanuel's with this woman, whose name I should know by now, oh, all of hers have been bad. This one, so boring.
It's a great title.
It was really boring.
Six Lives of Ghosts?
Except
are you
we,
kidding me?
We did. We. I mean, you would think that seeing full female, full frontal nudity. Is that your phone, mate? Or is that my phone?
It's my phone.
Who is it?
Taryn.
Ah.
Taryn Mahomes.
Are we going to need to take that?
I don't know. Can I just check my phone?
Yeah, you can take that, but I will record
Taryn
it.
Taryn can make or break someone in this industry. Yeah, you never leave him on red.
Oh, he hasn't messaged me or anything. He's just called me.
That is a classic over 40 move.
That's so
true. He's going to be offering you a gig in 3 months in Raglan.
Can I just take this opportunity to say this? If you're listening to this podcast and you're dealing with anyone in your life under the age of, let's say, 36, and you just ring them out of the blue, please stop doing that. It is horrible. It's a horrible thing to do to someone.
Have you ever got an absolutely out of the blue FaceTime from Brendan Lovegrove?
No. Oh, yeah, but not for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure in a little hot minute.
Yeah, he loves to do that.
That's different, though. The rules don't apply to Lovegrove.
Yeah, no. He's crazy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so this movie is bad in a bad bucket of movies, you know? And I don't know how many more we've got to watch with this woman, although I don't think it's that many.
Natasha?
Yeah. Natasha something.
You liked that one of the actors was simply known as Kelsey.
I think that's very funny to just be like, I'm going to drop the last name like Beyonce, but your name's Kelsey.
We've come across that a lot in the porn, this Emmanuel journey. Who was the cool sound dude?
Thomas Boom.
There was a composer who did like a raft of them that had really cool soundtracks. I think it was the French ones, and he was just like a one-name guy as well.
And you can look him up on Spotify. He actually has some good songs.
It's probably just not just a porn thing. It's just an artist thing. So it's like Prince.
But you think like make up a full, if you're going to do porn, just have a full porn star, like fake name, like stage name.
First and last. Yeah, Amanda Sock Boom.
Yeah. Don't do just Kelsey is very funny. But Kelsey P or Kelsey F? Which Kelsey?
It is one of those names.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no Kelseys right now, but when there was like 100 at one go, and then we were done on them.
Yeah.
Everyone agreed no more Kelseys. Not New Zealand, though. Also, can I get your hot take on something that Guy observed in this movie? Mm-hmm. Americans have shitty kitchens.
Yeah. Yeah, this was
most of our audience live in America, so talk to them about it.
Fuck you. Fuck your kitchens. Fuck your families.
Okay.
Go fuck yourselves.
Maybe concentrate more on the kitchen part of it.
You should be ashamed of yourselves. You're an embarrassment to kitchens worldwide.
It looked like a classic American kitchen in this movie. Because I don't even know if it's real. Like, you guys have lived there. I've never lived there. But
Never seen one.
All the kitchens that you see depicted in film and television from American series and movies are the same. And they're these like huge, sprawling, double door fridge, soda laden, kitchen aisle having, bar stool adorning, shitty faux tile work dressed up, pieces of shit in the burbs.
Yeah.
And they have bad ovens. They're either too big or too little. In this case, too little.
Yeah.
It was like a tiny oven.
I don't have a very good eye for like interior design. So I was like, it just looks like a kitchen. I don't know. I can't tell.
That's fair.
I would never design my own house.
You wouldn't trust yourself.
I mean, I can't afford a house, but if I could.
It's a fun dream to play around with.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Someone else would be like, when I played The Sims, I never like designed the houses. I was like, yeah, chuck a fridge in there. Woohoo. Woo-hoo.
So, and what was the game about for you then?
Woohoo.
About woohoo.
Yeah,
fuck
The Sims having sex.
Ah, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Making woohoo.
Yeah.
And then do they have children?
Yes.
And
I think maybe
of them,
later on. Yeah,
yeah, not in like the first gen.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they got pregnant.
Maybe like three. I feel like three. Three was a real turning point in the franchise.
Oh, well, you could either just woohoo or you could try for a baby.
Oh, true.
Would you guys do that thing where you'd build a pool and take the ladder out?
Oh, yeah. Or put them all in a room, set off fireworks, take the doors out.
Yeah.
House
it was kind of insane that the game like let you do it because it's just like, of course.
Everyone was pointing at GTA like this is the reason that society is crumbling.
Yeah,
but The Sims is like it's on a deeper level.
Sims
like GTA is like mindless immediate violence, but The Sims is like psychological warfare where it's like, I'm going to take the door out and watch you realize that you're going
to
die.
Yeah, because you have to get really creative with it. Yes. GTA, you can just run someone down in your car and that's boring. Yeah.
You've
but
got
Sims,
to
you really
put people in a deathly situation and then remove all means of escape from that situation. And everyone talks about like, you know, how popular GTA is. I'm pretty sure The Sims as a franchise has outsold GTA a franchise. It's more pervasive.
Yeah.
I feel like you know the kind of people playing GTA. Predominantly it's like kind of 19-year-old dudes.
Yeah.
But everybody plays The Sims.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Boys and girls. Socks and cocks.
I will never recover from vaginas being described as socks.
The good thing about this podcast is Guy and I, as soon as we hit the record button to stop the recording, it's gone, man. We don't remember anything we've said. Just exists out there in the ether.
In a beautiful little vacuum. Look, we've been sort of vaguely dancing around discussing this porn for about 30 minutes, but we all know the real reason that we watch porn is to become aroused. And it's different for cocks and socks, but there is a man who comes into our podcast every episode to check in on the varying levels of arousal.
Hello.
Wouldn't you know it?
He's at
Hello,
the
door. Boner Inspector!
Hello, sir.
Hello, Tim.
I feel like it's been a really long time since I've seen you.
It has. I've been out pounding the pavement, knocking on doors and checking on whores.
Pounding the pavement.
Oh, I really wish I'd listened to an episode of this before I came on it.
It sounds like you've been having sex with concrete, is that? Or do you just like walking around?
Walking around, trying to find boners, checking on socks.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard the new terminology?
Please, hey, everyone's
calling pussies socks these days.
Boner Inspector, and I will use your official job title because we have a guest in the house, a first time.
Yes,
here.
Hello.
I'd like to introduce you to Liv McKenzie, who's a New Zealand comedian.
Hi, Liv.
Hi, Boner Inspector.
Hanging out today. And
I'm so sorry to intrude like this.
Liv has just watched a movie with Guy and I.
Yes.
Called Emmanuel, the Sex Life
That's
of
how
Ghosts.
I knew to visit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
well, I'll start with you, Tim.
Yeah, I'll kick off.
Any murmurings of an erection?
Well, the interesting thing is this, Boner Inspector.
I understand you saw a full sock.
Full sock this time for the first time, which was interesting in more of a meta way than a sensual way.
You mean in a canonical sort of way it fits in with the entirety of the franchise?
More like take a zoom out of being in the story and look at it as a cultural product or a production per se and be like, interesting, it took them this long to break that rule.
Mm.
This movie, I don't know exactly when it came out, but I want to say 2004.
The way you're describing it, Tim, doesn't sound very horny. Maybe a boner of the mind.
It was a boner of the mind of sorts, yeah.
Tell me about your pants.
Piqued my interest. The pants, nary a whisper, I'm sorry to say. And do you know what else? I was so bored in the movie that I kept smoking weed, and then I think because I was stoned, I would get more bored of the movies than I would smoke more weed, and it became a vicious cycle, and I don't think that's a drug that leads to sexual arousal either. So.
Weed can be an erotic drug.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it wasn't in this case, so I'm so sorry to report. I've got nothing for you.
That's okay. Now, Liv, I'm sorry to do this here. The old shock sock. Did anything turn you on in this movie?
No. I think I felt like the same way I felt about 50 Shades of Grey, where I was like, or like reading the books, where I was like, God, this dialogue is so boring. I just wish they'd have sex. But then they'd have sex, and I'd be like, not this again. I want to develop the plot, but then the plot's so boring. I'm like, oh, I just wanted it to end.
Yeah.
I felt like I was stuck in a sexual limbo, but I wasn't even getting fucked by a ghost.
Waste of my fucking time. Guy, no. See ya.
He's off. Very well.
What a confronting man.
Yeah, he's full on.
Did you invite him or?
In a way.
He kind of just knows to come.
Like yeah. Santa?
He's a bit like Santa. Santa. Oh. He's less magnanimous.
Are you going to say less magnetic?
He's very magnetic.
Santa is?
No, the Boner Inspector.
Oh, okay.
He's got like, he makes no bones about who he is. He's unapologetically himself. And in that respect,
it's
you've got to
think. One aspect of being magnetic.
Well,
you've got to have a kind of generosity of spirit coupled with that. Otherwise, you're just Jeff Bezos.
He's got a pretty sad backstory as well, that guy. I can't remember the details, but
Yeah, I remember it being sad. I do remember it. It's Twilight Pod on Twitter. Yeah. If you remember what the story
Has he had sex?
We don't know. He sort of roams the earth looking for a boner.
Yeah, it really sounds like a vibe of a guy who has not had sex before.
He's like a spirit. He's like in a limbo of sorts. You know what I mean?
Ghost.
Yeah, just shambling around this mortal realm,
looking for socks and cocks.
Looking for socks and cocks that have signs of arousal, and he can't. He can't have peace until he finds one of those
just one
of those genitals.
Yeah. which is in stark contrast to our other guest on every episode of the podcast.
Yeah, who I think I can see just walking up the path now to the studio. Here he is.
Yes.
Hello, George.
Hello, Tim.
Liv, I'd like to introduce you to the world's greatest listener, one-time James Bond, the Australian Thunder from Down Under, former model, current man dining out on his one-time Bond experience, and currently alive, George Lazenby.
Hi, George.
Hi,
so
Liv.
So nice to meet
so
you.
So nice to see you. Ah, well, how is everyone? It's been a minute.
It has been a beat, but you sound better than ever, George.
Well, I've been cutting back.
You've been cutting back on the cigs?
Yeah.
I didn't actually know you're a cigarette smoker.
Big style.
Yeah, you are an older man, and it sort of is a, I feel like it's a drug.
It's an old-fashioned habit, yeah.
Yeah.
Down to a couple of packs a day.
Yeah, so this is Liv. This is a friend of Guy of mine who's a...
Fantastic.
Just watched a pornography with us.
I don't know what you know about me, Liv, but I have been saddled with an erection that I tuck into the collar of my dress shirt for as long as I can remember.
It's massive.
I crave respite.
No. No, George, that's no good.
Yeah, the boner inspector needs to... Listen. It is crazy that these two gentlemen cannot seem to get it together because, to use that Ghostbusters analogy again, we have got a gatekeeper and a keymaster. One man has an unsatiated boner that he needs to release.
Yeah.
And another man is in dire search of an erection. And they never seem to...
You keep teasing the existence of this guy.
They never seem to be in the same place at the same time.
Romeo and Juliet.
Really is a pair of star-crossed lovers.
Basically, I have medium to deep pockets and a desire to have a porno commissioned, but I'm looking for pictures, descriptions of pornographic materials that might cut the mustard.
Okay.
So if you would be so kind as to pitch a porno to me.
Okay. Do I go away for 20 minutes and write a pitch? Or
if it is your free baller in the room.
Okay. So it's two people, and they're having sex.
Okay. I'm listening.
That's the whole pitch.
Oh, my God. I love it. I actually love it.
Before you got here, we've been talking about how there needs to be more realistic, I think, sex to introduce – more realistic porn.
Yes.
To introduce people to it.
It's a hard entry point, isn't it? It's like what Nintendo – to keep going on this video game thing. It's like what Nintendo did with the Wii. It's like everyone is who hasn't gamed before is confused by the PlayStation, Xbox controls. Let's make a wand.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's make entry-level porn.
Yeah, so it's two people having sex. It's not very good. The guy is like – he's trying to go down on the girl. He doesn't quite know where the clit is. She's like, no, just left a little, no, right, up. Like, he just can't quite figure it out.
Yes.
He's kind of just chewing on her labia. Like, he's just not doing a good job. And then so she kind of gives up on that because she knows she's not going to come. She's like, okay, no, let's
finish this.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill him.
Yeah, yeah. And then he... She snaps his neck. No. And then they have sex and he comes in like 2 minutes. And then he asks her if she comes and she said no.
And how does he take that?
Not well. He's pretty upset because most girls he's been with before have faked it. So he thinks he's good, but it's because no one's been honest with him. But sometimes it's easier to just fake it and they get out of your house.
This is heavy on the realism and maybe slightly light on the eroticism.
Yeah, because it's real.
So that's real life, baby.
Yeah. And then he tears up a little bit and she's like, it's fine. It's fine. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Like, it happens, but you just need to know, I don't know, you need to investigate how to please a woman more. And then he puts his shoes on very sadly and then he leaves. And then she brings out a vibrator.
Yeah. Wow.
And then it's erotic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the vibrator
knows
what it's doing.
It seems kind of sad to
it
me.
It seems, yeah. That's sex, baby. It's very sad.
Well, George,
well,
is this
wet it's interesting, not in the traditional sense, but when you're really in the nitty-gritty of the storytelling, my erection did sag a touch.
Sagged. That's not what we want.
Well,
or
it's
is it?
A form of relief, but it's not your traditional means.
Oh, so we're Liv's found a way to get around the whole business of making you come.
Yes.
Just a boner killer porno.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but then you sort of described at the end when he left and everything started heating up again.
Mm.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to make it.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
This is my big break.
No.
It sounded like there was a third thing coming in that list that was going to negate the other two things you just said. But
I don't want to see it. I don't want to make it. But, you know, good on you.
Oh, okay.
What do you do for work?
I'm a stand-up comedian.
Keep at it. Keep at it. You know, it takes years.
My side hustle is writing pornography.
Okay, well.
That's my true dream.
Don't quit your day job.
Oh, no.
And that's coming from George fucking Lazenby.
I'm heartbroken.
Yeah, you can actually leave now.
Okay.
Bye, George.
See you, George.
Man,
I did not like him.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
He's all right.
No,
he means well.
I didn't. Wasn't he supposed to be Australian?
He doesn't really know where he's traveled a lot.
He's spent a lot of time in the UK.
He's one of those guys who, you know, one of those people who's lived abroad for a few years and they come back and they're like, I sound like this now.
Yeah,
you
know,
but you weren't there long enough to sound like that.
Yeah.
You were gone for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. You know, yeah. I was going to say a last name at the end of that to call out someone I went to high school with, but I'm not going to do it just in case. Because they did do that and it was the UK. And you cannot get a British accent.
Give us the
initials.
ID.
Mm.
Yeah. We'll just let that sit there.
Ian Damascus.
Real warm.
Hey, how about that?
Liv,
mm-hmm.
We've got a segment on this podcast called The Shining Light.
Mm-hmm.
It's been with us since the beginning, since season one.
It's an opportunity to relieve the sort of negative aura that can sometimes emanate from around us because we subject ourselves to suboptimal viewing mm-hmm. experiences. So is there any scene, moment, could literally be something as small as a candle you saw in the background of frame. Was there anything that happened in Emmanuel, Sex with Ghosts? Sex Lives of Ghosts. Could be called Sex with Ghosts.
And it seems to me my favorite bit was a candle in the room.
Yeah, it could be.
Burning slightly brightly.
Keep going.
I don't know what rhymes with room.
Womb.
Broom.
Yeah.
Zoom.
All good options. Sorry, we're out of it now.
So it's something nice I liked.
Yeah, it's like your favourite bit of the movie. I think we can all agree the movie wasn't fantastic. But like,
I liked the end bit where it was just a shot of Emmanuel. And I was like, oh, she's really pretty.
Yeah, you liked her, huh?
Yeah, I thought she was pretty.
Cool.
I liked her vibe.
You're going to marry cool. her?
Maybe. I hope so. I'm proposing tonight.
Wow.
Wish me luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
You can take her back to her family in Transylvania.
I'm taking her back to the ghost fucking
Yes,
house.
But live first. You must ask my father's permission.
Oh, I thought Dracula. It was dad. Yes. That's Emmanuel.
Her dad is the count from Sesame Street.
That's pretty wild having a depiction of Nosferatu in a kid's puppet show, you know? Mm. Like,
what he's supposed to be?
Well, you know, Dracula.
Oh,
sort of the same shit.
Nosferatu's in SpongeBob.
Right.
And they're like, Nosferatu, because he keeps flicking the lights on. And
yeah.
Off. Yeah, I love
and it's got that original footage from like the.
Yeah. It's like actual. One.
Fuck, SpongeBob was good.
It's great. When I was in au pair in New York, I would just make the kids watch SpongeBob.
They keep making it though, right?
Yeah.
Do you know if it's a Simpsons situation where, I mean, like, something can't be good for that long?
I think there's probably not as many episodes per season. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I know that there were some decisions. What's his name? Steven
Hillenburg.
Yeah, nice.
I met him.
Did you?
Yeah.
When?
So my old host mum used to work at TV Land, which is part of Viacom. And so we got to do like a tour of Nickelodeon Studios. And if we were there on the right day, they would have been recording SpongeBob.
Oh, my God.
And we just missed them a day.
Oh, my God.
But we met Steven Hillenburg and I was like sweating. It's like the most starstruck I've ever been. I was excited. Yeah. And the kids did not give a shit. They were like, is this where they make Cartoon Network? And me and the mum were like, oh, my God.
You can't say that.
Yeah.
Hugely embarrassed. What a faux pas.
Yeah.
By the au pair.
Really was.
Two French words. What's he like?
He was nice. He was like, He's dead now.
Yes, he is. What was he like is how I should have phrased that.
Nice. He was still nice.
I heard he met an au pair at the studio and never recovered. The kids she was looking after were asking about Cartoon Network.
Come on, man.
That was the last straw. He died. He was like, nah, he was just seemed like a quiet kind of nerdy little dude.
I think he was originally a marine biologist.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he had big marine biologist energy.
Which is
just like,
bookish.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, he seemed kind of shy. He wasn't like, oh my god, hot. You know, some Americans are like,
he wasn't like SpongeBob.
No. And I was pretty upset by that.
What can Americans be like?
Bah.
Yeah. Americans do be like that.
They really do.
What do British people be like? And what about Germans?
Aussies? Yeah, you're right.
Mm. And now we're going to travel to Asia.
Well, that seems like as good a time as any to round things off. You got a shining light guy for this ep? This movie? Fuck, he is coming up so short.
Do you know what? The guy who played the dude was like acting. He was like a stage actor or something who'd been cast in this porn and it was his big break into cinema. He was acting so hard. Like his face was working overtime. The others seemed to know the limits of the movie and how successful it would be. But he had a belief that if he turned in the greatest performance of his life, this would, you know, go into bigger things. And in a way it did, because he did look a little bit like Matt Dillon's brother, Kevin Dillon, who did have is still an actor, actually. In fact, there's that funny photo of him and Charlie Sheen and Johnny Depp going around where they all looked super washed out on the internet recently.
I'll bet they did.
And some Australian
account, I reckon I might know why.
Some Australian account posted a photo of it saying, bad day to be a bag.
Oh, my God.
Fuck, that is a stunning caption.
What about you, Tim? Don't ever think it. Just be yourself. Have fun with it.
I'm just trying to be honest as well, though. Like, I want to pick something that I genuinely did enjoy.
If you're having fun, they're having fun.
Fuck, man. This is hard.
Nachos?
Well, they weren't actually nachos. We just misheard Emmanuel.
Oh, now I'm really upset.
Yeah, so I was. So I was to burst that bubble. I mean, I kind of like that at the beginning of this film, there were flash. Somethings, backs, forwards, whatever you would like, with a horse. And then it was just kind of like never addressed.
Mm.
I liked that there was a horse in this
movie. Yeah, it's nice to see horses.
That's my shining light.
I was going to say there should be a cartoon about horses, but then I realised there was one quite recently.
BoJack Horseman Live. You look.
Oh, I was trying to think of My Little Pony.
Also true.
Ponies aren't horses.
Oh, come on,
read
man.
Read a fucking book for once.
Oh, Liv, where can people find you online?
I have Instagram. I have
Don't be coy.
My Instagram is
It's important to have different handles on different platforms.
I know. My Instagram is Living the Dream, but it's _ after Liv. And then I think my Twitter is like Liv _
Can
McKenzie.
We go back to the Instagram one?
Yeah.
So Liv _ Ving the Dream.
No, Liv _ Ing the Dream.
LIV _ING the Dream.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, and just the one _ after Liv.
Because her name's Liv.
Yeah.
And then I tweet like once a month. So
what do you tweet?
I tweeted something that's like, I'm watching the Olympics because I hate sports, but I love watching athletes cry.
Fuck, get on that. What's your Twitter handle?
I think it's Liv _ McKenzie _ comedian. Maybe?
Great pitch. So fighting off Liv McKenzie doctor. Liv McKenzie.
All right, fuckos. Thanks for joining us for this exciting episode of The Worst Idea of All Time.
Yeah.
How many Emmanuels have we got left? I feel like this was 30. Like,
I heard a rumor this was the last one.
Nah, you heard. Well, you heard
30-ish?
Wrong. We have watched about, I think this is 33, 34, something in there, and like...
52.
I haven't revisited this since we kicked off, but when I did the original count, trying to put it all together, there's a few we've got to avoid. We've been told that they're no good. They're like bad. Very missable.
Not like bad movies, but like objectionable.
Yeah. So we'll give those a a dodge. And I think leaving the other ones, it is pretty close to 52. So we've still got another fucking like 20 odd.
Oh, boys, why do you do this to yourself?
I'm with you.
By the time we're done watching these pornos, or like even after, I'll be a fucking dad.
Oh, you're gonna watch it with the baby?
No,
start
I don't
him
know.
Young.
We should have the baby on the podcast.
We probably, out of necessity, will.
Yeah.
At some point.
You should have just watched Twilight. There's only five at the end.
First baby on a porno podcast.
I don't want to watch Twilight.
You do. Though.
All right, so everybody. Good. Enjoy the rest of your whatever the fuck. Bye-bye.
Yeah, get him, Tim.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.